हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्तिः शान्तिः शान्तिः। ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Okay, so last time we heard about how Dronacharya, having established the exhibition to show how the martial arts skills of all the princes was there. And so then one by one or in groups, they all came out, did so many things, and everything was very amazing. Then you had Bhima and Duryodhana fighting, and then that turned very, very serious. So then Dronacharya came and stopped that. And then it was time for Arjuna to come out and display his skills. So Vidura described the scene. To the blind king, Arjuna displayed one celestial weapon after another. With the Agneya weapon, he produced fire. With the Varuna weapon, he produced volumes of water. With the Vayavya weapon, he caused a great wind to blow. And with the Parjanya weapon, he created a huge downpour of rain. Arjuna created land with the Bauma weapon. And with the Parvatya weapon, he made a hill appear in the arena. Then, by evoking the Antardhana weapon, he made all those things disappear. You know, because you have all these different weapons. When they actually make those things. So you have that, and then one will be used for another, and like that. You know, it's like if you have used the wind, you put a mountain to stop the wind and things like that. If you put fire, then you put water to put it out. As the citizens gasped, the prince displayed all kinds of mystical powers. One moment he appeared as tall as a massive palm tree, and in the next he became as small as a thumb. In an instant he went from standing on his chariot to standing on the ground, a distance from his chariot. Drona had a mechanical iron boar running swiftly across the arena, and Arjuna shot five arrows into his mouth as if they were one shaft. He shot 20 arrows into the hollow of a cow's horn swinging on a rope around a pole. After showing his skill with the bow, Arjuna took out his sword and mace, demonstrating many dexterous moves with both. Yeah, because when they would shoot, they were so quick that it would look like it's just one stream of arrows. It wouldn't be like one arrow goes and then another. It's like you could see one arrow behind another going, or just in one steady line. The exhibition was over. The music had stopped, and the crowd's excitement had cooled. Suddenly, they heard at the stadium gate the sound of someone slapping his arms with great force and roaring like an enraged elephant. Obviously, some hugely powerful man had arrived. Because a lot of times, the wrestlers, they would slap their arms. You know, the right arm, they slap their shoulder and listen like this. You know, and how they do it, it make a huge amount of sound because they're very big, they're very powerful, they have big muscles. When you slap them, it really clap and things like that. The people looked around for the source of the sounds. Are the mountains cracking asunder? Is the earth itself splitting apart? Others thought that some jealous god had come there, wishing to display his might. Right? So all the Kauravas and the Pandavas now have shown their might, so they're thinking maybe some demigod has come and showing, no, I'll show you what powerful is. Drona jumped up and stood surrounded by the five Pandavas, resembling the moon surrounded by bright stars. Duryodhana stood with his 100 brothers like Indra with the celestials. Right? So Duryodhana stands on his own, his brothers are with him. But you see is that if there's some danger, then immediately the Pandavas are protecting their teacher. Right? The teacher is there and then they're with the teacher. So you already see that there's a difference in mood. Everyone looked towards the gate. Marching straight towards them was a warrior who resembled the blazing sun. He had a brilliant coat of mail that appeared to be a natural part of his body. And he was adorned with earrings that shone like fire. The earth resounded with his steps. He seemed like a moving hill. The crowd was motionless. They stared at the new arrival. Who was this? The handsome youth strode straight up to Drona. He bowed somewhat indifferently before him. then offered his respects to Kripa. Right, so you're already getting indication that the difficulty here is that even though he's so powerful and everything, there's an impurity that's there. So he doesn't have the proper respect for authority that he should have. Turning again to Drona, he spoke in a voice that could be heard in every part of the stadium. "I am Karna. With your permission, good Brahmana, I shall show skills equal to those of Arjuna. Indeed, I shall excel all the feats displayed by Kunti's sons. Watch them and be amazed." The crowd stood up altogether as if lifted by some instrument. They roared and cheered. Arjuna felt abashed and angry. He clenched and unclenched his fists, which were covered with iguana skin finger protectors. His eyes seemed on fire as he glared at Karna. You know, so the difficulty is that we see Arjuna doesn't say anything. He just comes in, does. He doesn't boast and all that. But the difficulty here, we see Duryodhana is boasting. Karna is boasting. So there's a weakness there in their character. And because of that, then they can be very great in their particular skills, their particular knowledge, and endeavors, results they can get. But the difficulty is they won't be able to actually inspire people to move forward to improve the quality of their lives and the way of improving their consciousness, improving their good qualities and all that. So since leadership is meant for that, that's why then there's a problem that they're not actually supposed to be the leaders. Drona nodded his assent, and Karna moved to the center of the arena, right? Because he comes in, he's a Kshatriya, saying, "Let me show, okay, let's see." At once he began to show his skills. He matched every feat Arjuna had displayed, and the crowd shouted their approval. When he had finished, Duryodhana went over and warmly embraced him, right? Because he is a match for Bhima, though he's trying to get rid of Bhima, but who's a match for Arjuna, right? So now, here's a match for Arjuna. And we can see by his behavior in that, Duryodhana can relate more to him than the Pandavas, because Pandavas expect proper etiquette coming in. It's not his program. He wants to come to Drona at some point and say that I can do all these different things and all that. That's fine. You know, you can come and establish yourself. But the difficulty is it's the program for these princes, and he barges in and said, "I can do whatever." He's not so respectful and all that. So it's more self-centered than it should be. It is Kshatriya prowess, but it's not the kind of Kshatriya prowess that establishes great kings that are known for, you know, how you say, for millennia. Duryodhana went over and warmly embraced him. Here was someone who could stand against the haughty Arjuna. The Pandava prince had been the center of attention for too long. Here was his equal. Right? So the center of attention, because Duryodhana wants to be the center of attention. So it's not that Arjuna is the center of attention, not Karna will be the center of attention. No, Karna is there to block Arjuna's center of attention so Duryodhana can be the center of attention. You know, so by him saying, "Oh, he's been the center of attention too long," then it brings to, okay, well, maybe he's too proud or this or that. But Duryodhana is doing that out of pride, and he's getting this person to do that, to assist him to be the center. Right. Duryodhana laughingly said to Karna, "You are welcome, mighty hero. By good fortune you have come here today. Tell me what I can do for your pleasure. I and the Kuru kingdom are at your command." Right, because such a powerful person, if he's allied with them. Duryodhana had seen Arjuna's anger. He smiled at the Pandava as Karna replied, "By your words, I already consider my desire fulfilled. I only wish for your undying friendship. But I have one request. Please allow me to engage in single combat with Arjuna." Right, because he wants to establish he's the best. See, Arjuna is the best because of his character and the blessings of his guru. And so Arjuna being worried about someone else being the best, it's not that for him that's a problem. You have a few problems that are there. One is that his guru said he'll be the best. So then, you know, that's how it should work out. You know, not because he should be the best, but because the guru had said. The other thing is that these others who have come up that have shown themselves that to be equal in their skills, you know, Ekalavya and now Karna, then their character is not good enough to actually lead properly the people and all that. You know, to bring them to a point of, you know, proper God consciousness, to elevate their consciousness. So since that's the actual point of the kings, is to protect the people, but it's not just physically protect them. You're also supposed to see that the, you know, the emotions, the intelligence, the consciousness, the culture, all these things are protected. So Duryodhana and Karna, they be able to physically protect them. There'll be no problems. But it's not necessarily that in that peaceful situation the people will excel in their personal development and in development and spiritual realization. Arjuna stiffened and grasped his bow. The minute he had seen the obviously arrogant Karna, he had felt an intense rivalry. Maybe he would get the chance to end it right now, right? Because they are Kshatriyas. But the point is it's a matter of the Kshatriya spirit is there, and so that's glorified in its position of prowess. But at the same time, as we see, is the unless it's engaged properly in Krishna's service, it's weak. Duryodhana laughed. Enjoy with me the good things of life. O hero, he replied, together we shall reside in happiness. Arjuna had heard enough. He interrupted Duryodhana in a thunderous voice. Karna, the path of the unwelcome intruder or the uninvited speaker shall now be yours. Right? Because he just walked in. It's not his program. You don't do that. You know, especially if they're Kshatriyas, then there's some reason to come in. Like someone might come in at a Swayamvar, you know, and kidnap the bride, but it's a Swayamvar. You know, it's something that is an option. But you have here is that it's another program that has nothing to do with him. He just comes in and he's saying so many things. Duryodhana is saying yes. You know, because it's Drona's program. And so they're speaking and having this whole parlance, you know, this whole arrangement for, you know, political arrangement for, you know, despite Dronacharya's arrangements. Karna smoldering like a glowing ember. Arjuna, this arena is not meant for you alone. It is open to all heroes, including those superior to you. Why do you argue with words alone? Those who are strong do not waste words. Speak with your arrows, and I shall sever your head before your guru's eyes. Right? So here's just that so much jealousy and envy is there. And so he's speaking like a hero in that. And so that's good, but it's just it's the wrong moment. Arjuna turned to Drona, who nodded slightly. Right? You know, so in other words, he's approved of the fight. Fixing his gaze on Karna, the Pandava advanced for combat. Duryodhana embraced Karna, who went before Arjuna, his weapons at ready. Suddenly the sky was filled with heavy clouds and bright flashes of lightning. Indra's great rainbow appeared overhead, right? Because now you're getting, you know, the son of Arjuna, you know, of Indra is there. And so then Indra's come with his clouds, his rainbow, the lightning flashes. The clouds above Karna, however, dispersed, and the sun shone brightly, lighting up his form. Dhritarashtra's son stood behind Karna, while Drona, Kripa, and Bhishma stood behind Arjuna. So you see, this is actually how it divides. But we'll see later in the war, because of their, you know, Bhishma's promise to protect the Kuru throne, whoever was sitting on the throne, and it happened to be Dhritarashtra, therefore he ended up fighting for him. So Drona, Kripa, and Bhishma, then they ended up there, though in their mind, they would be with the Pandavas. Right? So if there was going to be a war, it would have been that way. In the terraces, the crowds became divided. As they faced each other, Kunti was immediately filled with horror, and she fainted on the spot. Vidura was surprised to see this and raised her gently. Sprinkling her face with cool water, he asked her what was wrong, but Kunti said nothing. She sat, holding her head. How could she tell anyone the secret she had been keeping hidden for so long? Trembling with fear, she looked at the arena and, feeling helpless, prayed silently. Just as the two warriors were about to duel, Kripa, who knew all the rules of combat, stepped forward and asked, "This son of Pandu is the child of Kunti and a descendant of the royal Kuru race. Let us hear from his opponent what is his lineage and race. Once he knows this, Partha may decide whether or not to fight. Right, because it may be it's a kingdom that you're allied with, and no, we won't fight, or it's one that you're enemy with, you could do, or he's somebody unqualified, or like this. Because the point is, since Kshatriyas, it's about the proper rules, you know, because it has that maryada, following the rules, doing everything properly, setting the proper example, establishing righteousness over, you know, unrighteousness. So because of that, then you should know who your opponent is, because it's not just who wins. It's not a matter of just winning. It's a matter of also how they win, you know, that they won in a, you know, proper, religious, dignified, you know, Kshatriya way. Kripa looked at Karna. Duels were fought only amongst equals, right? Because, I mean, he's shown what he's doing there, the skill, but is he an equal? Just like Ekalavya had so many nice skills, but the point is, was he an equal? No, because of the character. So we see in the Vedic culture, knowledge and skills are important, but they're not as important as character. So if someone has character, that stands above the knowledge and skills. Because if you have character, then you can be taught knowledge and skills and you'll use them properly. But someone who doesn't have character, even though he has knowledge and skills, he may not use them properly. So then what's the point? Karna blushed and said nothing. It was clear that he was not from a royal line. Seeing his discomfiture, Duryodhana spoke out. Nobility does not depend only on birth. Those who are heroes and leaders of soldiers may also claim nobility, even if not born in royal lines. Right? So they may come, but if they're able to lead others and inspire other great heroes and warriors, then they would be taken in this way. You even see in the Romans that you had those that were from, you know, these royal backgrounds and all that. So naturally they'd be leaders in the military. But then those who, as warriors, worked their ways up through the ranks and became, you know, came to the top, then they were also then counted amongst them. Because by guna and karma, they showed they wasn't by birth. So we see is that he's making that point that by birth doesn't necessarily define it completely, which is correct. But at the same time, as you have to see, is that there's some weakness here because of that. You know, if there's no weakness, then there's no problem. So it's a matter of who has the knowledge and skills and the character together, then whatever it is, then they're qualified in that way. But if there's some weakness there, then you see is they don't have proper respect for authority. That's a weakness when it comes to Brahma Kshatriyism. But if Arjuna will duel only with another king, then I shall immediately give Karna a kingdom. Without delay, Duryodhana arranged for a ceremony right there in the arena. He sent someone to fetch sanctified water and sprinkled it upon Karna's head. You shall become the king of Anga. Right? Anga is, I think, somewhere over kind of the eastern side of India. The crowd cheered as Brahmas chanted the appropriate mantras and offered Karna rice, flowers, and holy water. Karna sat upon a golden seat and was fanned with a yak tail whisks. He was deeply moved by Duryodhana's gesture of friendship and said in a choked voice, "What can I ever do to repay you? I shall always be at your command." Right? So Duryodhana, by showing his friendship and doing this, then he got him to be, you know, subservient to him. So we see is that the aspect of friendship, and you see they are very good friends, but it had this political motive. And it's not that Karna didn't have also motive. He wanted to be recognized for the position that he was. And Duryodhana needed someone to balance Arjuna, and then his idea he could balance and his brother's Bhima. Duryodhana replied, "Your friendship alone is all I desire." Right? So that's what it said. Karna said that before, and now he says this back. The two men embraced each other, and the citizens became even more excited. Right, because this person's come out, he doesn't seem to be from royal lineage. Duryodhana on the spot makes him a king. You know, I mean, this is very dynamic. This is, you know, good entertainment here. All the people have come. There's something happening here. Just then, as the duel between Karna and Arjuna seemed about to commence, another man suddenly ran into the arena. He was trembling with age and supported himself on his staff. Perspiring, with his cloth hanging loosely from his body, he moved quickly towards Karna. At once, Karna got down from his seat and placed his head, still wet from the coronation, at the man's feet. He stood up and said to the inquisitive Duryodhana, "This is my father, Adirata." Right, so we see here is that his father he respects, but somehow or another he doesn't necessarily have respect for these others. So at least there's some degree of respect, and from there you could develop it. But we'll see that as the Mahabharata goes, it doesn't actually expand very much. So it's not enough to actually fully save his position and all that. Though we do see at the end in the war, he does offer that kind of respect in that to Krishna. But because of his Kshatriya passion, he can't actually function within that capacity. Adirata had been present in the crowd and wanted to congratulate his son upon his coronation. He was a charioteer and was instantly recognized as such by both his dress and his name. He embraced his son tightly and shed tears of happiness, because from going from the charioteer's son, though he had such great prowess, then he would only have that basic position, because you see his character is such that it would keep him there. But we see by Duryodhana's arrangement, because he does have that Kshatriya prowess, then Duryodhana recognizing that brought him forward. And you also can see as he was inimical to Arjuna. So a enemy of my enemy becomes my friend. That's a political position, right? Like that. Seeing all this, Bhima jeered, "O son of a charioteer, you do not deserve death at Arjuna's hands. You had best take up the whip and guide a chariot. Indeed, you no more deserve the kingship of Anga than a dog deserves the sacrificial offerings of ghee meant for the gods." Karna looked down in embarrassment. Duryodhana rose up in anger from the midst of his brothers like an infuriated elephant rising out of a lake full of lotuses. "Bhima, you should not speak such words. How can someone like this be of inferior birth?" Which is, one sense, true. Because otherwise, Karna, his prowess, you know, his armor, his earrings, we see that when the fighting was about to start, the sun came out and everything. So we can understand that actually he's not from an inferior birth. But the problem is his mentality and such is, has a slight inferior element like that. So that's where the problem comes in. But technically speaking, his birth is not inferior. A hero's first quality is his strength and prowess. Have we all seen Karna's power today? Right. So he's making a good point. They're talking about how he just came in. Now, if he had come into the court and said that I'm here and all this and that, and I would like, you know, I have these abilities, I'd like to serve the kings, and then he would have been received very well. He probably would have, you know, immediately gotten a good position, good facility, everything. So if he had used, you know, appropriate channels, but he's come in and, you know, it's more kind of this aggressive kind of aspect. So the Pandavas don't appreciate it, especially not in front of their guru, you know, in front of Bhishma, in front of Drona and Kripa. Duryodhana then named different gods and heroes whose birth had been unusual. Drona himself was said to be born from a pot, Kripa from a piece of grass, and the great god Kartikeya from a clump of reeds. Even the Pandavas' births were mysterious. Can a deer bring forth a lion? Look at this man. He has a natural coat of armor and bears marks of auspiciousness. I do not consider him to be a charioteer at all. Right, so what Duryodhana is saying is correct, but his motive for saying it isn't to bring out, you know, the justice and all that. It's just to establish him on a position that he's equal to fight with Arjuna. That's his motive. It's not to establish that, no, this is wrong. This is a great personality. Why we're overlooking his, you know, this. Duryodhana gazed defiantly at the Pandavas. If anyone dislikes my having crowned Karna, let him step forward and bend his bow in combat. Because now he is a Kshatriya. You can't complain about that. So then, you know, then, okay, now we have a fight here. Because before it was, well, we don't know the background. But Arjuna definitely knows Duryodhana's background, right? You know, they're cousins. The crowd was roused by Duryodhana's heroic speech. They cheered and sat expectantly, right? You know, they're expecting a fight, right? Now there would surely be a great duel between two mighty heroes. But during Duryodhana's speech, the sun had set. The dispute would have to be settled another day, right? Because he came out, he showed all his different things like that. Then, you know, there's going to start this fight. Then there was that, you know, Kripa comes forth and all that. Then you have the aspect of, no, he has to be crowned king, so you have to go through the ritual. Then his father comes out, then there's some discussion. Then by that time, the sun set. Right. So, yeah. Duryodhana took Karna by the hand and led him out of the arena, which was now lit by countless lamps. The Pandavas also left, along with Drona, Kripa, and Bhishma. Then the citizens returned to their homes, some of them named Arjuna and some Karna, while others pointed to Duryodhana as the victor of the day. Because Arjuna had shown so much wonderful things. Karna came out and also established all those things. But then Duryodhana, even though he may not have shown as great a martial arts aspects, it was going a very good fight with Bhima. But, you know, how his heroic speech, you know, so some are saying, you know, Arjuna's prowess, no, Karna's prowess, or Duryodhana's, you know, speech like this. Kunti thanked the Lord within herself. As she watched Karna leave the arena, her mind went back to the day of his birth. She had only wanted to test Durvasa's boon. She had no idea the mantra would prove so powerful. Kunti remembered how she had been lying on a couch watching the brilliant sun rise over the Ganges. What if she could call the sun god to her? The mantra had come to mind, and almost at once the blazing Surya was standing before her. Right? Because Durvasa had given her a boon because she served so nicely. Because when, what's his name? Durvasa had come to the Kaurava kingdom, then to his father's kingdom. Then everybody's scared of Durvasa because he has such a reputation. So then he'd be very easily angered. But at the same time, then by this it looks like he's very, you know, when he's pleased, and he's very generous. So then the one who is most, you know, comfortable and willing to render service and make all arrangements for the sage while he was at the palace was Kunti. So sure, taking care of everything, even though everybody else was afraid she wasn't. Then Durvasa then you know, gave her a boon that he'd give her a mantra by which she could call any demigod she wants and she could have children. Kunti had been amazed, then horrified when he told her that he could not leave without giving her a child, because that's what the mantra's for and he can't just come. Right? Because otherwise he comes, he's called by the mantra, everyone goes, wow, the power, who has this mantra? And then he's turned back and all that, then they'll think he's not so powerful. He's been turned away by a young girl, right? So you know, who's more powerful then? He could not leave without giving a child. I'm yet a maiden, she protested. I mean, she wasn't married. What will everyone say? Surya smiled. By the power, she would conceive a son and still remain, you know, as a maiden. And it so happened, the god left, and in due course, the boy was born. Kunti had marveled at the baby's natural golden armor and earrings. The same armor and earrings she had seen on Karna as he marched into the arena. That's why she was immediately, because he's big, she wouldn't necessarily recognize him immediately, but because she recognized the armor and the earrings, and she knew this is Karna. She recalled how that armor had shone in the morning sun as the boy floated away in the basket on the river. Kunti wept again as she recalled how she could not tell anyone she had given birth and how, blinded by tears, she had pushed the baby out into the flowing river. Adirata must have found the basket and raised her son. As Karna strode off with Duryodhana, Kunti led Gandhari back to the palace. And so that ends this. Next time we'll continue with the chapter 6, The Kaurava's Hatred Grows. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada.